Today's Shir is Masechta Gittin, Daf Samach Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, the third line. It says the Gemara, Hey Rabbi Yossi ben Hamishulam, Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Ochiv, Shama Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma. Ein Oysen Chala Amar Amaretz Patara. Even if an Amaretz wants to participate with a Chover in taking off Chala, B'tahara, the halacha is that you may not participate because the explanation is we are concerned that the chal already, the dough of the Amoritz already became tameh at the point when he made the dough. And if now the chaver is going to participate with him and be the one to take off the challah from this dough, the kohen who receives the dough will mistakenly believe that the challah is tahor, but of course we have to be concerned that the challah is not tahor because the Amoritz prepared it betumah. Aval oisin isin chula betahara. A chaver could participate to make dough. That means if from the beginning of the manufacturing of the dough it was made betahara, then it's fine. And then if the dough is made in such a fashion, noitel menu, he takes off a piece of dough, kidei challah. The halacha is that when challah is given to the kohen, there's a certain amount that has to be given to the kohen. So he can remove that amount. Umeniach bekfisha ben chusa, and he gives them, but he has to put the challah into kalim that are not makabel tuma. Ukshiba amaretz litoil, and when the amaretz comes and takes that keli that has in it the challah and gives it to the kohen, noitel ashtein, he takes the dough and he takes the challah that's in the keli, v'ena choshish, and there's no concern, the person who made the dough has no concern that the amaretz will touch the challah before he gives it to the kohen and make a tamei, and of course challah, which is tamei, a kohen may not eat. What kind of kalim are these? The two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that it's a vessel made out of material, that this material is not mekabel tuma. Another pshat that I saw, that it's a type of vessel that was put into the mikveh with the purpose of keeping it tahor, and it's been watched the entire time that it remained tahor. And since it's been watched the entire time that it remains tahor, then we don't have to worry. Ve'ein oisin truma zeisa b'tahara. The halacha continues the Gemara to teach us that people who take olives and crush them in the olive press may not work with the Amoritz, but even though the Amoritz again asked the chaver who's running this oil crushing that he should take the olives and make them betahara in order to make sure that the trumas and maestris that are taken off from that olive remain tahor, because they already became mukhsha lekabel tuma, because they might have become wet when they were in the possession of the Amoritz, and therefore they will be truma and maisa, which is tameh. Truma, which is tameh, as we just said, may not be eaten by the kohen, and therefore the chaver cannot at that point start processing these olives, because if at that point he begins to process these olives, there's a real concern that somebody's going to think that those olives are tahor when they're actually not tahor. Aval oisim zeisim chulam, when the zeisim are still chulan, that means before they ever got wet, as we're going to see, as before they were ever mukshel kabel tuma, then we may give them. Aval oisim zeisim chulam b'tahara v'noitel menekdei truma, and if the chaver was careful to make sure that it remains tahor, he takes off the shear of truma, umnicha b'kalev shel chaver, and he could keep it in his kalim. G'shba Amaretz lit night to l'shteim, and when the Amaretz comes to take the truma to give it to the kohen, he takes both the chulin and the keli that has in the truma v'enachoshish, and there is no concern that the Amaretz will make it tamei. Says the Rav Tamamai, why did Chazal not be concerned that the Amaretz may make this challah tamei, may make this truma tamei? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Kedei Chayiv the Gavel Mishum Chayiv the Bader. They really, the Gemara is saying that the concern is a legitimate concern, but Chazal said that if people who are in the business of making dough or in the business of crushing oil will have only the right to work for Chaverim, there weren't that many Chaverim. And they're going to end up in a situation where they're not going to have any panosa. Says the Gemara, we learned the same halacha both by dough and by olive oil. And says the Gemara, why was it necessary to teach the same halacha twice? V'tzricha, diashminim gabol, if we only heard the halacha by somebody who makes dough, there we would say that we were lenient for this person. Mishun delay nachvish agrei. People who made dough don't really make that much profit, and we can't afford to let them lose any potential customers. Aval Bader, the Nafish Agri, a oil olive crusher who makes a nice profit, Ema Loi, maybe we shouldn't be lenient and let him work for the Amoritz. We ask Mina Bader, if we only heard the halacha by the olives, Mishum Deloy Shchiach. Their olives are only available once a year when there's the season. Aval gabe de shchichlei, but when we speak about the dough, which happens all the time, emaloi, maybe we shouldn't be lenient to let the chaver work for the amaretz shricham. Says the Gemara, amamar, we learned that when the chaver has the flour of the Amaretz, as long as we know it wasn't Tamei, he could take it, he can make dough kdei challah, but then he separates the amount, the sheer challah, you have to separate it. U'mekniecha b'kafisha b'anchusa, he puts it into one of these kelim, as I gave an explanation. Another explanation that I saw is that this is a keli that is made out of wood. And the halacha is a keli that's made out of wood, that doesn't have a base kibble, that has a flat surface. The halacha is such a keli is not makabel tuma, and therefore the Gemara is suggesting put it in that type of a keli in its not makabel tuma, and therefore the Mishnah, and therefore we learned k'shva amaretz litel, when the amaretz comes to take night l'shteim, he's allowed to take whatever, he could take the dough and the challah and give it to the kohen v'ena choshish, and the don't have to be concerned that the Amoritz is going to touch the actual dough and make a tummy. But ask the Gemara, why are we not concerned? Why not be concerned, the Leichish Demon Nagaba, that maybe he touched it? Says the Gemara, that Minale, because we tell this person, if you're going to touch it, Nagaba, if you're going to touch it, then Nagaba Hadrila Tavel. It's going to be Tavel again. And of course, he doesn't want it to be tevel. Tevel may not be eaten, and therefore that will prevent him from touch it. So, ask the Chassam Sofer, how can we say it's going to be tevel? Once the challah was removed, so it can't be tevel again. It could be tamei, but it can't be tevel. So why is the Gemara allowing him to say something which is not true? So the Chassam Sofer actually says a very interesting chiddush. The Chassam Sofer says that it will be tevel. Why will it be tevel? So he explains that this person who made the dough, the chaver who made the dough and took off the challah, is in the capacity of a shliach of the Amoritz. And his shlichus is attached to a stipulation. The stipulation that his shlichus is attached to is that if this Amoritz will make in Tamei, he was never a shliach. If he was never a shliach, then the challah that he removed was never considered a hafroshes challah. Since it was never considered a hafroshes challah, then the halacha is that indeed, since it was never considered a hafroshes challah, so then it is It is indeed tevel, and therefore he won't say it. Says the Gemara. So what kind of a threat is that? Maybe that Maris doesn't care if you say it's going to be tevel. Answers the Gemara, we see that this Amoritz is trying to do what's right. He's trying to have the challah removed. So can we suggest, is it possible to say that he doesn't care? Of course he cares. Amamar, truma. And then we learned that the olive presser takes off the mount of truma, and puts it into the kennel of chaver. When the Amoritz comes to take it, he could take the shemen, his oil, which is chulin, and the oil of truma to give to the kohen, v'ena chayshish, and the person who's processing the olives doesn't have to worry that the amaretz is going to touch the truma. But ask the Gemara, why not? So says the Gemara, bishlama hasam, says the Gemara, isle hekeira. By the case of the challah, as we mentioned earlier in this year, the challah is placed in a keli that's not mekabel tumah. We gave various examples. So since it's not mekabel tumah, that's why we could be confident that he will not. That will serve as a reminder to him not to touch it and not to make it tumah. But in this case, what's going to be the reminder? Hacha, my kirasli. He's putting into the regular keli. Answers the Gemara. Here too, what the Gemara meant to say was the manachlei that he should put it b'klei glolim, made out of clay, or b'klei avonim, made out of stone, b'klei adama, earthenware, that are not mekabel tuma. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, my iri the chaver. So why does it have to be kalim that belong to the chaver? What are we explaining now? That these are all types of kalim that are not mekabel tuma. So if they're never mekabel tuma, so then even if the kalim belong to the amaretz, we don't have a concern. Ask the Gemara, then if this is the case, I feel the amaretz nami. Says the Gemara, hachi nami kama. That's exactly what the Braisa meant to say. The kalim shel amaretz, what kind of keli should the olive oil be put into? It should be put into kalim that belong to the amaretz. Haruim l'shtamish b'chaver, but they're the type of keli that the chaver could always use, even if the keli belongs to the amaretz, he never has to be concerned that the keli is tamei, because these are kelim that are not mekabel tuma. So we learned in the Mishnah machzikim yedei avdik chum b'shvius. The Gemara is assuming that in Eretz Yisrael in the Shemitah year, if there's a property owned by the Nachrim, we could work on that property. Ask the Gemara Machzikin, is that true? V'amar avdimi mishmei d'rav, ein oivdirim im oivkacham b'shviyas, the halacha is that we're not allowed to work on the field of a Nachri in the Shviyas year. Says the Gemara, ein oivdirim avikacham b'shviyas, ein kaifam shavim avikacham. And as we're going to learn, we're not allowed to say the word shalom twice to a Nachri. So how could the Mishnah say that it's permissible? The Mishnah doesn't mean that one is allowed to work with them. Of course one may not work with them. But what the Gemara means to say is that you see a Nachri working in a Shvius field, you could tell him Hatzlocha, you could tell him good luck. He would tell them you should be successful. Another Rav Shesh Amla Sharta, that's another language, another terminology that you should be successful. I saw that Yushalmi says what Machzikim Avdik Chavim means, that we're not allowed to work with them in the Shemitah year, but what we're allowed to say to them is, you may continue working in the Shemitah year, and even though I can't participate with you, I will buy produce from you from this field the year after Shemitah. Ben Kai from Shalom Avdik Chavim. We just learned the Brisa that we can't say Shalom Shalom Tan Avdik Chavim. Says the Gemara of Chizda Magnum Yav L'Shalma. Rav Chizda would always say Shalom to the Akum first. And the reason explained to Rishonim, because if somebody says Shalom to you, you have to say Shalom twice to him. And since you're supposed to say Shalom twice to him, they didn't want to have to say Shalom twice to the Akum, So that's why they always said shalom first. Rav Kahana Amala Shalom Lamar, he used to say shalom to Lamar, and even though the Nachri thought that he was giving him a bracha, he was giving really the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rishonim explained that shalom is a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we want to avoid saying too much, which is a profound blessing, and we want to prevent giving them such a big bracha. So if they always say shalom first, and that would be good. The Maram Shif has a different explanation in this Gemara. He says that pshat in this Gemara is that if he saw a group of Nachrim, he would say shalom to them as a group. Because if he's going to meet them individually, he's going to have to say shalom to each one of them individually. He wanted to have to avoid saying shalom to each one of them individually, and like that, he wouldn't have to say one shalom, and that should be enough. The question, according to Rav Kahana, when he said shalom, and he didn't mean the Nachri, Rashi says he meant his Rebbe, he meant HaKadosh Baruch Hu, isn't that considered Geneivas Das? The Nachri thinks I'm bowing down, I'm greeting him, and I'm not really greeting him. So the Chassam Sofer asked this question. So he says that it's not considered Geneivas Das. He says that whenever there's a situation, as is the situation now in Gemara, of Eva or Darkei Shalom, if you're doing something for that purpose, it's not considered a situation of Geneivas Das. B'shalom b'shalom, says the Mahaksha, hashtag zukim mechzikinen. We'll ask them how they're doing. So ask them, if we just learned that it, the Shemitah year, we may say, techzakna yadechem, shalom b'shalom m'boye. Certainly we could say shalom. So he said. So the Rishash asks, he doesn't understand the Gemara's question. He says, saying shalom, as we mentioned, is mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So that's a lot worse than just saying techzakna yadechem. So the Rishash answers, when they used to give somebody a bracha, that techzakna yadechem, the pasuk in Rus said, the boy said to the kaitzrim, boy said to the people who worked in his field, Hashem imachem. So techzakna yadechem is also with the Shem Hashem, and that's why the Gemara asks, if we could do chazukim achzakina, we certainly could do shalom b'shalom. Answers, Gemara Amar Rav Yema, what the Gemara means here is Leinitzcha Eliyoyim Edom, that even on their holiday, they're allowed to do so. And the concern is that Rashi says, if we're not concerned that if a Jew greets them on their holiday, they're going to go and thank the Rabbi de Zorah, look, the Jew holds me in such great honor. Another pshat that the Miri says, that maybe what the Gemara means to say is that since it's their holiday, there's a concern that if one gets into a conversation with them on their holiday, they may begin speaking about the Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, we don't have to be concerned about that. The Tanya, you're not allowed to enter their house of worship to greet them. But if you find them in the street, do it, but make sure that it's obvious that you don't consider this a holiday. Says where Rav Huna Rav Chisda v'Yasvi, Rav Huna Rav Chisda was sitting, Chola v'Ozel Geneva, one of the Chachamim whose name is Geneva passed by, Omlei Chad l'Chavrei, so one said to the other, Nekem Mekamei, let's get off of him, Devar Uryanhu, he's a Ben Toira, Omlei Mekamba Pagoy Nekem, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, Geneva was a person that was bothering Mar Ukva, who was the Ab Bezdin. Says the Gemara, Adahasi Iul Gabayu, before they were debating if they should go greet him, he came towards them. Amlu Sham Aleichem Malki, Sham Aleichem Malki. So Geneva said to them, Sham Aleichem Kings. Amlu Menolach Durban and Ikra Melachim. Why are you calling us Melachim? What makes you think that Melachim, that Rabbanim are called Melachim? Amlu Dixiv, Be Melachim Yilaychu. And through the Torah, that the people who learn Torah, who are the Melachim, bring covered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or other pshat is they're the ones that decide who should be the king. Amalei umenolan the kalf and shalom lemalki. And from where do you know that we have to say that we say the word shalom twice? Amalei damar Rabbi Yehuda menayim shekom shalom lemelech. How do you know when we say that when we speak to the king we have to say shalom? Shenema the pasuk says that when Amosai went to greet David Amelech, for ruach lofsha as Amosai roisha shalishim. So we see that they were called he said the word shalom. The Gemara says many places that Talmid Chacham, the Rosh Yeshiva, was called a melech. The Gemara says different times where Rosh Yeshivas of the yeshiva were called melech. So from here we see that a Rosh Yeshiva is called melech. That's one thing I saw, because why is he called Melech? So I saw, one pshat that I saw, is that the Gemara says that they used to, just like a Melech is supposed to be wealthy, they used to also have to make the Rosh Yeshiva a Melech, wealthy. And therefore, since he's a person that they had to treat the same way that they treat a Melech, just like they have to make sure that the Melech is wealthy, so too did they have to make sure that the Rosh Yeshiva was wealthy. And that's why the Gemara says that the Rabbanim are considered Melechim. Says the Gemara, Amalei, so they said to Geneva Litamar Midi, maybe you want to eat something. Amalei, to which he said, Hachem Rabbi Yehuda Marav, a person is not allowed to consume anything until he first feeds his animal. First, you have to feed your animal, and after you feed your animal, then you take care of everything else. So I saw the Sefer Chochmas HaMatzpan explains why is the halacha that Rabbanim are called Melachim. He says, because the opposite of a Melech is an Eved, is a servant. A Talmud Chacham is not subservient to anything else besides to do what's right. However, a Eved does what is not living that type of life. And that's why Talmid Chacham are called Melech. Another Pshat that I saw from the Chacham Samatzman is that what is the hallmark of a melech? The hallmark of a melech is that he thinks about his country. He thinks about his people. And that's why Talmid Chacham called the melech, because Talmid Chacham are those individuals who think about Klal Yisrael. I saw from the Klozma Gereba, he says that one of the Hashanahs that we say So he explains what is meant when we say Hoshana Laman Malchusecha. He says what's meant is, here we're saying that who are the Malchusecha, who are the Malachim, the Talmid Chachamim. So we say Hoshana Laman Malchusecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring a Yeshua to Klal Yisrael, Laman Malchusecha, because of the Talmid Chachamim who are considered Malachim. So our Gemara just taught us the halacha. A person is not allowed to eat anything until his animal eats first. So many explain that what is the reason for this? Because the Medrash, in explaining the pasuk of Adam or Behemoth to Shia Hashem's, explains that many times people are not really worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing them panosa. But however, what does bring a Yeshua to that country? The animals. So that's why Adam and Behema, Adam Bishvil Behema, the people are taken care of because of the animals. We get our sustenance because of the animals. If we get our sustenance because of the animals, we should take care of them first. But as the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, the pasuk says that when Klal Yisrael were given water, the pasuk says Vehisha is Eidavas Be'irim. That you should first take care of the people and then the animals. First give the people to drink and then the animals. But we just learned that animals come first. So the Yad Ephraim says that when we have food that was obtained through a nace, in that case where the water came from Iraq, there's something that came through a nes, we could assume that a nes is brought because of people, not because of the animal, and therefore the people drank first. The Sefer Chassidim says there's a difference between drinking and eating. Our Gemara is speaking about eating, and there indeed the halacha is that you can't feed an animal, you can't feed people before you feed an animal. But there it's talking about drinking. Drinking, people come first. And one of the riyas that Sefer Chassidim brings is we remember that when Rivka met Eliezer by the well, she first gave Eliezer to drink, and then she gave his animals. So you see, since we're talking about drinking, there people go first. The Ksav Sofer doesn't understand why there should be a difference between food and drink. He says, so then if that's the case, we come back to the question, why did Rivka give Eliezer to drink before she gave the animals to drink? So he makes the following differentiation. He says that this halacha, that you have to take care of your animals before you take care of yourself, he says is only talking about your own animals. So you have an obligation to take care of your animals before you take care of yourself. But there we're not talking about, Rivka wasn't taking care of her own animals. Rivka were taking care of Eliezer's animals. There is no such a requirement. So then I saw a very interesting question. Here we're learning that you have to take care of your animals before you take care of yourself. What's going to be with your family members? Are you supposed to take care of and feed your family before you take care of yourself? Or can you eat before the rest of your family eats? The Pelayot says, if our Gemara is teaching us that you have to take care of your animals before yourself, you certainly have to take care of your children and your rest of your family before yourself. And Ramosha says that the question, Ramosha discusses this in Egros Moshe, Oir Chaim Chelik Beis Simen Nun Beis. What's the halacha Ramosha discusses? One has children. Should he take care of his children first, or should he take care of his animals first? And Ramosha says, if the children are old enough that they could take food by themselves, and of course, animals cannot take care of themselves, so you should feed the animals first. But if your children are of the age that they can't take care of themselves, that if they're of the age that they can't take care of themselves, of course one should take care of the animals, of the children and then the animals. There's an interesting question that the Pesukim also discuss. Here we're learning about treating the animals properly. It's really obviously connected to the concern of Tzara Baal Chayim. So some say that maybe one should avoid having animals in their home, because by having animals in your home, you're always opening yourself to the question of Tzara Baal Chayim. Others say, on the contrary, maybe one should own animals, because by owning animals, what you accomplish, they suggest, is that V'rachma V'kol Ma'asav. If you're going to fulfill what our Gemara just taught us, that by feeding your animals you before yourself, you're showing that you care about the animal, so then you care about what Hashem's creations, so then maybe there is a point to have animals. The Maral has a whole different explanation to this Gemara. He says that the reason why we're obligated to take care of the animals before we have to take care of humans, he says, when it comes to humans, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares panosa for every human being. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares panosa for every human being, a person doesn't need to be concerned about his panosa that much, because Hashem is sort of guaranteeing that he will have panosa. Animals don't have panosa in that way. And since animals don't have panosa that way, there's a greater concern, and that's why animals should be fed first. The Taz says that the Gemara says Osul Adam Shiyitim Klum, but the Girsa that he has in the Gemara is Osul Adam Shiyoichel, and the Taz suggests there's going to be a very big nafkamina, Because according to the Gersa of Al Gemara, one is not allowed to even take a taste of food before he feeds the animals. Whereas according to the Gersa that he quotes, one may not eat before he feeds the animal, but he could take a snack before he feeds the animal. And that's why the Taz says that one can take such a snack, and others say not. Others certainly say that when it's a case that the person must eat, and if he's not going to eat, he may expire, then for sure the person come first. And that's why they say that was the pshat by Rivka. When Eliezer showed up, then she saw that Eliezer, after having taken this long and arduous trip, was not at that point in a position to take care of himself, and he needed a drink quickly. And that's why she felt that she could serve him even before she served the animals. Because under those circumstances, he suggests that people come first. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, says that because of this halacha of Asal Adam Shiitim Kodim Shiitim Behem Elham Dai, the halacha is that if somebody made a mitzi on the bread that he's about to eat, and then after he gets that bread, he realized that he didn't feed his animals first. So normally, between washing and the mitzi, you're not allowed to be mafsik. Here, the halacha is, the Gemara says, that you're allowed to be mafsik. Moreover, the Teres Yisrael Masechta Shabbos, Perek Tezayin, teaches us that if there's chas v'sholem a fire, then the halacha is that we're allowed to save three meals. Every person is allowed to save three meals. Says the Teres Yisrael, you're allowed to save three meals for animals as well. Why allowed to do it for animals as well? Because he says that animal we see from our Gemara, the one is obligated to take care of his animals. The Maril Diskin explains that the pasuk says in the Bereishis, "Vayu l'chol lahem l'ochla." What does that mean? It's talking about, the question is, the animals come before us. So why does the pasuk say "Vayu l'chol lahem l'ochla"? So he explains that Adam Arishu wasn't allowed to eat meat. The only person that was the halacha that one could eat meat only began after Noach left the Teva. So it turns out that before Noach left the Teva, you can never eat meat. So whatever you had from an animal was only a kinyan peiros. And if you only have kinyan peiros in an animal, you don't have full-fledged ownership in the animal that you could eat it, then he says you don't have an obligation to feed the animal first. So only, he explains, when Noach came out of the Teva, where at that point they were allowed to eat meat, that's when the halacha that you're not allowed to eat before you feed your animal kicked in. And since that was the only point where that halacha kicked in, before that, the halacha wasn't there. And that's why, until then, the pasuk says, V'hoi l'chol lehem l'ochlam. The Imri Emes says a very interesting chiddush. The Imri Emes says that this halacha of you're not allowed to eat before you feed your animal doesn't apply to Shemitah produce. Because since Shemitah produce are really not considered produce that we own, so this halacha doesn't apply. Harim l'chanazokin, harim l'chanazokin, harim l'chanazokin. As we begin the next perek, the Tosfos says that the Yerushalmi says that this perek we're about to learn comes after perek Hanazakim, and then comes the perek Mishachsu. But the Rosh and the Meiri have a different order than we have, and their order is that perek Mishachsu comes before perek Ha'omer, and there are those that say that Rashi also. There are Rashis that seem to indicate that was the Girsa that Rashi had. As we've learned in our Masechta, a shliach could be the one to deliver or receive a get. We've learned that there's a shliach lekabbalah, which is the shliach appointed by the wife to receive the get, and there's a shliach halacha, who is the shliach appointed by the husband to deliver the get. Says the Mishnah, Haimer, if somebody says, "Eskabel get lishti, I'm appointing you to take the to accept this get on behalf of my wife." Oy, he says, "Hoil get zel ishti, I'm appointing you to bring this get to my wife." The halacha is that until the get is actually brought to the wife, the husband could retreat from it, because the get is not considered effective until the wife actually receives the get. And since the wife did, and the fact that I asked the shliach to accept the get on behalf of the wife doesn't mean that the get is a valid get. And the reason why it's not considered a valid get is because even though we've learned many times, Zochen L'Adam Shalei B'Fanav, I could create that somebody should get something for somebody else without his permission, but that's only when it's something which is positive. That is not the halacha when it's a negative. And a get is certainly considered a devar choiva. And since a get is considered a devar choiv, the halacha is that I can't say that. The get is not hers, doesn't become hers. They don't become divorced until she actually receives the get. And therefore, if she hasn't received the get, he could be mevatalit. If a isha, however, if a woman says to a shliach, "Iskabeli get geti, accept the get on my behalf, and then the shliach takes the get on behalf of the woman, so the halacha is, once the shliach accepts the get is considered, the woman is considered completely divorced, and since at that point the woman is considered completely divorced, and Ratzel Lachzel Layachzer, at that point the husband can no longer back out. Lefikach. And therefore, says the Mishnah, once the get was given to the shliach of the wife, she is divorced. If the husband says to the shliach lekabbalah that the wife appointed, "I don't want you to be the shliach lekabbalah elahoylech v'tenlo, I only want you to be a shliach lehaylocha," and the get should only be considered a valid get when the get is actually delivered to her, since the husband is in control and the husband has a right to make that type of a statement, so this individual is no longer a shliach lekabbalah. He's considered a shliach lehaylocha. And since at this point he's considered a shliach lehaylocha, so the halacha is, as we've learned earlier in our Mishnah, the halacha is that the husband can back out until the wife actually receives the get. Therefore, imratz lachsa yachsa. Hashem Gamal Aymar, af haymeres tluli giti. If a woman said to a shliach, "Tluli giti," it's considered like she appointed him as a shliach lekabbalah. And since it's considered as if she appointed him as a shliach lekabbalah, the halacha is imratz lachs lo yachzer if he wants to back out too late. It says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha Brei, the Ravi Leravashi. Tama, the reason why in the first case of the Mishnah, the husband could still back out, is Tama de lo shavisi I a shliach lekabbalah, because she didn't appoint the shliach to be a shliach lekabbalah. Had she appointed him to be a shliach lekabbalah, at that point, it's too late. Shmamina says from here, that we see from here, that if somebody asks somebody, take something in my behalf, it's not that he just asked, bring it to me. What he meant to say was, zchi, take ownership from me for me. And therefore, when she said, "Hoylich get," if she said, "Take this get on my behalf," the halacha is that she made him into shliach lekabbalah. And therefore, as soon as the shliach receives the get, she's divorced and he can't back out. Says the Gemara, "Loi, it's not necessarily the way to learn." Loi, if the word "hoylich" was used, it doesn't mean that she's divorced. The Mishnah said, "Hoylich gets lishti," in a case where the woman did not appoint this person to be a shliach lekabbalah. Sakadat chamina. We would think, "Hoylo ba'ala ba'ar shliach shav yishliach lekabbalah." A wife can make a shliach lekabbalah. A husband can make a shliach lehaylocha. But a husband cannot appoint a shliach lekabbalah. So we would think that Since he can't do that, so if he says to a shliach, "Haskabel giti, haskabel get, take this get, accept this get," we would think that he means to make this shliach into a shliach l'kabbalah. But as we just said, a husband doesn't have the ability to make him into a shliach l'kabbalah. And therefore, even avgav the mot to get liyadi, even if he delivers the get to the wife, he should not be considered a competent shliach. Lo have a get, kamash malon, the skav v'hoi l'kamer, he meant to be, to point him to shliach l'kabbalah, and therefore when she does ultimately receive the get will be good. Tanan, says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, if a woman told a shlichim the racha is if then the husband gave it to the shliach and then he wants to back out, lo yachzer. Why? Because as soon as the shliach lekabbalah received the get, it's considered that she's divorced. My love, isn't this the halacha? Lo yishna kabbalah, lo yishna halacha. Whether the husband said eskabel get zel ishti, or whether he said hoylich get zel ishti, the halacha is that she's right away considered divorced. Isn't this a raya, says the Gemara, that hoylich is chidami, that all he meant to, that if, now, if we're going to say, this must be a raya, that hoylich is chidami, because if not that way, we should say what all that was meant was, that she said, bring me the get. Loy, says the Gemara, since the Mishnah is going on the case where the husband said a skabel, so when he said hoylich, he meant him to be a shlich l'alocha. But regarding the wife, I don't know. What is the alocha if she says hoylich, get, bring me this get, is it considered like she appointed him to pick up the get on our behalf or not? Tashma, the Mishnah says, l'fikach, the Mishnah says, that once the husband gives the get to the wife shliach, he can no longer back out. Imava lo habal. If the husband tells the shliach, yefshish the kabbalah, I don't want you to take the get on, to receive the get on our behalf. El halach v'tenla, I only want you to take the get to her. That means I don't want you to be a shliach le kabbalah. I want you to be a shliach le locha. So since the shliach now is only a shliach le locha, the locha is emrotz lachse yachser. Then he could still back out till she receives the get. So it seems for me only because he said explicitly, I don't want you to serve as a shlich l'kabbalah. If he had not said that word, that stipulation, then the halacha would be a meratzalach if he wants to back out lo yachzer. Why? Because since she told the shlich get, take this get on my behalf, that's as soon as she, even if she just used the word chaylich, the get is her, she's considered as if she's divorced as soon as the shliach l'kabbalah receives the get. Why? Because they say, hoylich keschi. Says the Gemara, dilma behelich. The Mishnah is not talking about a case of hoylich, in a case of helich. In a case of helich, there for sure she's divorced as soon as the shliach gets a get. Says the Gemara, pshita ish have a shliach l'alocha. Says the Gemara, it's obvious that a man could be a shliach l'alocha. Because a man could be a shliach of the husband. She came balach bal get l'ishtoi. Since a husband could take a get directly to his wife, and we're learning that there's a concept of shlichus, so a man could appoint another man to be a shliach. Isha have a shliach l'kabbalah, and a woman could be a shliach l'kabbalah, because the normal case, as we just explained, a wife in the normal situation is the shliach for the woman is the one that receives the get. So if she chooses to appoint a shliach, another woman, it's fine. And the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara is when we speak about shlichus, the halacha of shlichus teaches us that the only individual who could be a shliach is somebody who's in that category, who's in that parsha. So when we speak about it in that way, it's very understandable. A woman could be a person that receives a get. Since a woman could be a person that receives a get, that's why a woman could be a shliach l'kabbalah. A man is an individual who could give a get. Since a man is an individual who could give a get, again, we understand why the man could, since the man could give a get, we understand why the man could be a shliach to deliver a get. The question is, since a woman can't give a get, maybe she can't be a shliach to bring a get. And similarly, since a man can't receive a get, a man cannot be the one, cannot be a shliach l'kabbalah to receive a get. It says the Gemara, ish l'kabbalah. And therefore the Gemara asks the question, can a man be a shliach l'kabbalah, given the explanation that we just gave? And can a woman be a shliach l'alach amai? Toshima, Haimer, somebody says to someone else, eskabal getzel ishti, or hoylach getzel ishti, and rotsa lachsa yachsa. The halacha is that since this individual is only a shliach l'alacha, and a shliach l'alacha, the woman is not considered divorced until the get is actually delivered to that person. So since the woman is not divorced, the husband could still back out. He shishamra, but says the Mishnah further, that if the woman said eskabal giti and her shliach receives the get, at that point imratz alachs layachser, she can no, the husband can no longer back out. So suggest the Gemara, my labachat shliach. Isn't the Mishnah suggest the Gemara referring to the same individual, that the same individual could be a shliach l'kabbalah and also be a shliach l'alacha? So we see that we aren't limited, that only men could be shliach l'alacha and only women to be shliach l'kabbalah. So the Gemara loy, that's not compelling. B'shnei shluchim, the Mishnah talking about two different people, the man for the shliach l'alacha and a woman for shliach l'kabbalah. Tashma. So the Gemara continues with our Mishnah. We learned further in our Mishnah. Lefikach, emamaloi baal, yeshish tekabbalah. The husband tells the shliach that the wife sent, I don't want you to be a shliach l'kabbalah. Elohelch v'tenla, I only want you to be a shliach l'alacha. Since the shliach at this point became a shliach l'alacha, so she's not divorced until she actually receives the get. And since she's not actually divorced until she receives the get, the loch is imrotza lachsa yachsa. The husband could back out. Says the Gemara, let's think about here. We're talking about the same individual, because this individual was originally appointed to be a shliach l'kabbalah, and then he was transformed from being a shliach l'kabbalah to being a shliach l'halacha. It's the same individual. Shema mina, the individual that could be a shliach l'kabbalah could be a shliach l'halacha. Says the Gemara, Peshayt mina, ish have a shliach l'kabbalah. So says the Gemara, yes, that we have a very good raya that a man could be a shliach l'kabbalah. Because a man could be a shliach l'halacha, he could also be a shliach l'kabbalah. Shekain, says the Gemara, but going back to the way we began the sugya, the reason why we could accept such an understanding, suggests the Gemara, is because a man sometimes halachically is the individual who receives the get. Because the halacha is, and the Mishnah in our parak is going to teach us this, Shekin ab mekabel get l'bita ketana. So we have a precedent for men receiving get. But we don't get ish l'halacha, but we don't have a precedent that a woman could ever initiate giving a get. So why would be an halacha to buy l'chmai? Could a woman be a shliach l'halacha? Says the Gemara, Toshma, Amar Mary Toshma, Afa Nema, Noshin Sh'ena Nema, Anas Lema Meisbala. As the Gemara teaches us in Masech Yevamos, there's certain women who are considered enemies of a woman whose husband disappeared and we don't know if he's still alive. And Mishimiguna Kilaba Rabbanan, we learned often that the halacha is Chazal were very lenient in accepting testimony about the death of the husband. There are five women, Chamoisa, her mother-in-law, Bas Chamoisa, her mother-in-law's daughter, Vitzarasa, the other wife of this husband, Vyavimta, the woman who may be her tzara if her husband dies without children, Ubas Bala, are not trusted to say a husband died. In all these cases, Nemlaviskata says they're all still, even though they have this issue, they can be the individual to bring the get. So we see, and there, Hasamalachahi. So we see that a woman could be a shliach l'alacha. Amar Rav, she's safer Nami, Shmamina. From the safer that Mishnah, we also could come to that conclusion. The Ketani Sefer, Hishish Atzma Viskita, a woman herself could bring her get. The Kimna, when we learned this Gemara in Daf Chof Dalet, the Gemara explained that that was a case that this woman was a shlich lahilocha for her own get. Shmamina, from there we clearly see that the woman could be a shlich lahilocha. And certainly, as we learned, a man could be a shlich lakabbalah.